My abilities are rather modest. Diglow is one of the few who has perfected this ability for telepathy. And when she uses her electronic helping devices, her ability is heightened in this area. Well, actually every human being has certain parapsychological abilities, but very few humans know that. If you want to develop them, train more. It should absolutely be done under the supervision of a competent person. I remained silent. The computer asked now if it should continue with the lecture. Am I hearing right? I thought. The Pallian being carried on a dialogue on the computer, with the keyboard. After that, this technological wonderwork continued with the instruction, in the shortest form, because in the right edge of the viewing screen appeared a small flame, possibly in those areas where the computer prepared the information for me. Chtni and Gene research went with the knowledge of this missing researchers group. Chtni and Gene researchers were rather skeptical at first with the research knowledge that the missing research group offered. But the proofs that they brought with them were utilized as evidence of the existence of these two different human races on Earth, and they accepted. They were very surprised because they believed that on the planet of hope, there were at most highly developed animals, like those on the planet Chtan. They still remained a little skeptical, and because of this they assembled in the shortest time, a research group that would look into these newly discovered beings. The day came when they returned with some of these human creatures. It was a never-ending research history that continued to unfold and changed the social life of the Chtnians. And so the research history began. Chapter 22, Gene Manipulation in Earthman. A few years after this, intensive gene research brought sensational knowledge to the light of day. Those humanoid beings they discovered were, in the history of their evolution, more gene manipulated by various space-traveling races that visited this planet than anticipated. They found that this gene manipulation helped and had kept these hominid beings from dying out. It was speculated that a hominid race was getting genetic material from these beings to prevent their own race from dying out. There were other similar conclusions. It was speculated that a hominid that lived in a more rarefied atmosphere had information inherited that was manipulated by gene technology into these beings to give them the ability to become more flexible towards changes in climate. If the climate would change, they would have the necessary information inherited in their genes and would be able to survive. This is more or less what they were guessing. They could not be more specific about their new conclusions. When a being at some time mutated and only a few certain parts of the body were affected by it, then the earlier gene manipulation could be a reason for it. Sometimes, for example, it was found only in the head, that the head suddenly mutated and not the entire body. They discovered that the first gene manipulation started already 17 million years ago. Up until 17 million years ago, this hominid race was independent, ancient and pure in their race. They appeared approximately 125 million years ago on the mainland, and then many millions of years later they parted into two main evolutionary lines, into the marsh creatures and the forest tribes. Both of these races had lost the ability to mingle with each other, to mix with each other. And about 69 million years ago these two races disappeared. With the other model, the hybrid servant beings that resembled the humanoid race, this situation was different. Their evolutionary history was different. Their evolutionary history began with animal beings who resembled apes, who could live in trees as well as on the ground. They came down from the trees a few million years ago, but the history of their genetic development had already passed their high point and they were about to die out. Very frequently they suffered from powerful diseases and many of their tribes were decimated, which took a long time for them to recover again. Another main point was their low intelligence level. They had difficulty in adjusting to different situations, which again resulted in a negative way toward the multiplying of the tribe. Soon the Chtnian genetic researchers began experimenting on the humans and their gene heritage, and as they got more and more into their research, they became filled with desire to create a new being more pleasing to their idea. 94. It didn't take long until the research institute on the planet Chtan found out and forbade the proposed action and disallowed it. That didn't matter to the Chitin research scientists here on Earth at the time, and they continued the gene manipulation with the human heritage on a reduced scale and without permission. This action launched a struggle among the Chitinian researchers. As a result, they closed the research laboratories on Earth and stopped the programs. All the complete research knowledge about Earth human heritage was taken to the planet Chitin. There they secured their research material into an archive, and they seized and took all the documents with the intent to interrupt and stop all of the gene research on Earth completely and forever. The process of entering all the information into the archive on Chitin was done very accurately and with great care. The genetic researchers busied themselves very intensively about the questions and problems of ethics, and about the knowledge of the research program, what was allowed to be known and what was not. What would be the result of such intrusion into human heritage through gene manipulation? Feverishly they searched and researched in the Chitinian state libraries for literature about heritage. They were looking for answers. What was ethical? How far could they go in their intrusion into the Earth humans? They could not find everything they were looking for in the state libraries, so they asked the gene engineers, the experts, who were given the task of completing the knowledge that was missing. They had never planned to experiment this way, but they continued to experiment on humans and their gene heritage. Their research activity was expanding gigantically. Gradually, the research institutions were reopened again, and even expanded. One day it reached a day when they dared to experiment genetically again on an old race of the hominid beings on Earth. A male being with a changed face was born. It had a similarity to the Chitinians. The result was incredible, but they were not quite satisfied yet. Further experimentation followed. Step by step, the newly created beings had unmistakably the faces of the Chitinians. To begin with, all the newborn babies with their mothers were sent to Chitin to a specially prepared housing. But the newborn and their mothers fell ill. The new beings that were brought from Earth to the planet Chitin were not really assimilating the air combination, and that is why all these newly created beings were sent back to Earth and no more to Chitin. A few months later, just a few months after their return to Earth, the illness disappeared. After the fourth year, they began to teach the newly created being through gene manipulation, the children. Their intelligence level was admirable. It was amazing how quickly they would understand and learn. Their intelligence level went beyond expectations, much more than they anticipated. 95 Because of this, they were teaching them exactly and deeply. All these created growing children entered into the service of the Chitinians. One day some of these growing children were allowed to see different looking beings, to take care of them. They were absolutely frightened, thinking they never had seen such beings before. Disturbed, they turned back to their beautiful paradise and told their lords what they had experienced and seen. But after the Chitinians, their lords, had explained to them that they had descended from these beings, they suffered a deep shock. For many days they secluded themselves and thought about their destiny, of their hesitant questions, if their mothers were among those very different beings. The answer was yes. At first they felt disgusted. Gradually they came to feel sorry for those poor beings of Earth. One day they told the Chitinian lords or overseers that they absolutely wanted to meet their mothers. In the beginning these Chitinian lords did not defer to their wishes. But gradually they gave in. But they gave an order specifically to these genetically created youth, that they must return. If they wanted to live among those strange beings and sought to mingle with them, they would be severely punished. Remember the admonitions to the Hebrews by their Jehovah gods. Naturally, this created youth promised to follow the dictates and not mix with those beings if they lived among them. A few of these created youths broke their promise and the admonitions and paired themselves with these foreign beings. Soon they multiplied and the result was born. They resembled the gene-manipulated beings very much. Therefore these beings could be hidden from their lords for a long time. And they were eventually forgiven, and they were warned that if they should repeat this transgression again, they would be absolutely punished. It was strongly forbidden to pair with the races of Earth, and those who broke the law had to bring those descendants back to their lords. With heavy hearts they did what was ordered. They were told that their children would have it good, and that they would grow up in a faraway hidden place. A few of these hybrid scholars did not follow the admonitions and they paired themselves without permission. After that the Chtnian lords caught them, and they were called back because they were acting against, and refusing to follow the orders given by the lords, and they were punished. Two of them as an example were singled out and the rest of the youth were not allowed in the living quarters of the Chtnians on earth until their death, though none of the judged youth suffered hunger or thirst or deprivation. They did not enjoy the area and they escaped at some time into freedom. Tirelessly the Chernician technicians experimented further. One day a baby was born that more completely resembled them in every detail. These new beings were not able to unite with the Earth races and create Earth descendants. These were a great success. 96 The result was that the genetic engineers aroused themselves again into research ecstasy. They wanted to know if they were capable of creating other beings through these means. And so they began to create and mix animals that could enrich their menus. But at some time they built human genes into this to accelerate the growing process. In the beginning it seemed to be justified. Later they allowed the development of beings that were half human and half animal. They created these cute little animals that were unable to reproduce. They were created for pure enjoyment and they were spoiled and caressed and used affectionately as pets. Even though they had urgent instructions from the Chtn Genetic Research Institute to cease such animal experimentation, they did not comply. There developed a long and bitter struggle between the Earth and Chtn. This struggle became so intense that in time a Chenian spacecraft used weapons and laser rays destroyed a few of the genetic research laboratories on Earth as a warning. Finally the human-animal experimentation was discontinued on Earth. In the beginning the geneticists obeyed the Chtnian order so as to keep them quiet, but eventually they rebuilt the destroyed research institutions in different areas and they hid them as they continued their experiments in seclusion. The Chenetians who lived on Earth were rebelling and they created ever new gene research laboratories and research institutions for the enjoyment of the research, and they created new hybrid creatures. These hybrid creatures could not procreate but their intelligence was enough to utilize them for different goals and objectives. The ugly results of these experiments were used as a means to put pressure on these newly created humanoids to enforce their obedience. And so by these means the Chtnians succeeded in keeping these new humans gradually isolated from the Wild Ones, as they called them. Though these new humans were allowed to live among the Chtnians, these had great respect for their lords. They were like gods to them, who could create and destroy life. They could master all the elements of nature. Many times these new humans saw how there was lightning in the sky and the long trails would race toward the earth and fall apart. Now and then there were conflicts between the lords, and the new humans, and the Chtnians who lived on Earth did not allow any Chtnian ships from the home planet to land here. The humans and the Chtnians who lived here one day attacked their brothers from Chtn and destroyed their main bases and a few spaceships, as well as their main factories on Earth. Undeterred the attackers returned to their bases. For the time being they had cut off the Chtnian home planet control and expelled those lords. 97 For the planet Chtn their fate was much worse. A million tons heavy giant meteor hurled towards their planet and was threatening to destroy it. With all their remaining means they worked feverishly to build a new defense system. But they were not able to complete it in time. Towards the third year after they had discovered the meteor it hit the Chtnian planet and demolished it. All life was wiped out. The explosion was so gigantic that it lifted the Earth, the planet of hope, out of its millions of years old orbit. This had terrible consequences for many, many years. One natural catastrophe after another appeared on Earth. Heat and cold periods, terrible electrical storms, drought, floods and earthquakes changed the entire world completely. After that time the world looked much as it does now. The computer ended its lecture. After this information silence prevailed. Again I looked at the endless fascinating vast universe on the viewing screen and it seemed as if nothing had happened to disturb it. Gradually this picture disappeared from the screen and was replaced by a view of our sun system. One part of this former fifth planet, Chiton, became the asteroid belt. But the greater part of this mass shot through space and struck disastrous craters into the other planets, and remained as satellites around some. My mouth felt dry, but Diglo gave me a glass of water and bent over me and whispered, "I see you don't feel very well." I looked into her eyes and remained silent. Ever again I was astonished at how quickly Diglo read my interior thoughts and responded to my feelings. From her questions I realized that she had prepared me very well for this part, and how I was able to see and was not so easily put aside. Immediately the computer followed her instructions. It was amazing how this machine, the computer, could respond to one speaking to it. The lesson continued where it had stopped and adjusted the presentation to the limited time left. After many decades, many more natural catastrophes followed. After that sequence of disasters one after another, the Earth became calmed again. Huge land masses had disappeared and new lands appeared. There were great losses among the Chitonians and the purebred humans. A few important factories that produced high technology existed no more. The factories filled and sunk into the earth and were flooded over by huge amounts of water. The surviving Chitonians were able with their underlings to modestly restart their industries in a humble manner. They very cleverly integrated the new hybrids toward this aim, to maintain this modest restart. From now on the new hybrids were permitted but fenced off, and within limits were allowed to live among the Chitonians. Though they were unable to reactivate their spaceflight momentarily, they were able to produce enough adequate energy. Gradually and slowly a small state evolved where the Chitonians were able to live. 98 The one-third part of the surviving Chitonian population that lived were very old and migrated, and two-thirds of the new human hybrids remained, but their rate of multiplying was admirable. They evolved a tightly ordered system with many hundreds of rules and strict behavior codes according to the Chitonian example. They lived all together in peace and harmony. After many Earth years their peaceful existence was disturbed. Two huge Chitonian spaceships returned from a long-time flight. Apparently at some time they were informed of the destruction of their one-time home planet Chiton. And so according to this information they figured that the Chitonians who remained on Earth and lived there, that they a long time ago had destroyed their home planet, and that they were co-responsible for this destruction. On the same day as their arrival on Earth and orbiting it, they discovered the regions where the Chitonians and their helpers lived. Terrifying heat rays flashed and destroyed all their technologies that they had with such great effort for years built up. The Chitonians on Earth now had nothing left to defend themselves from the big sky ships with. They stood before the piles of destruction. A few weeks after the destructive catastrophe, a bloody struggle broke out between the surviving Chitonians and their underlings. The Chitonians won and only through cunning gained the upper hand. And they were able to keep the new hybrids under continuing control. They only took into their service the absolutely faithful of the surrendered hybrids. The hybrids received the privilege of rule over one part of their own hybrid race. They were even permitted to select and move into regions of their choice, and to create with their trusted subordinates a city and to rule themselves. After the unexpected catastrophe, the Chitonian god beings looked for a new residence. They moved onto a great island in the middle of the Atlantic. It lay between the African and the Spanish coasts, and they built up a mighty state there. It was a cleverly chosen place with the best climatic suitability for them. A region of the best environment for them. The average temperature was about 20 degrees centigrade at the time there. Everything agricultural grew wonderfully there and the earth was very fruitful. They had thermal wells and the small island continent was rich in minerals and metals that they were able to use to rebuild their modest industry. Only the remaining Chitonians were permitted to live on this island world. Even for the most faithful and devoted of servants, this god island was taboo. They were permitted at most only to approach near to this island and view it from ship, but not to actually enter the island. On the map enclosed only the 2,000 meters depths are drawn in. A large area of less than 2,000 meters ocean depth is shown north of Africa and toward the Iberian Peninsula. There were many shallow marshes in this area. 99. For almost 500 years they inhabited the God Island until the next catastrophe for the Chtnians. I remember that they showed me the mighty island in the Atlantic from a bird's eye perspective in clear outline. The main city across lay exactly in the middle of the place of the dead volcano. Out of this dead volcano boiled a thermal well. The main city had a population of about 1.5 million citizens. The whole island had about 4.5 million inhabitants. On the viewing screen I saw and heard how under a mighty thunder and the great tidal waves, this magnificent city was inundated and sunk gradually into the ocean. A mighty tidal wave tore the high technology and the greatest part of the god beings went into the depths of the ocean. There were only a few hundred beings that survived. Those were on the rest of the land where they had been sent by the ruler to control and inspect the people. The survivors had no choice. Their destiny was sealed. Quickly the mainland rulers realized the situation and brought the surviving god humans under their power. They were able to dominate them and take them to a secret place. After that the mainland kings declared themselves the holy rulers. Later they fell into constantly fighting against each other and destroyed the existing world civilization. Chapter 23. The Last Tower in the Zubringer. I followed everything on the viewing screen with fascination. But for some reason, not even one scene has really touched me. So it seems that the human beings can bear great burdens on their nerves. I wanted to think a little while about these actions, all that I had seen. But this time was not available. Tigolo smiled at me and has again proven to me, as she has so often, how she knows all my thoughts. She interrupted the instruction and motioned the computer to enter and demonstrate a different theme. In the viewing screen I saw many beautiful landscapes as they once were. Krotk, who sat next to me during this last instruction, was a faithful friend and now he laid his hand upon my shoulder. Luckily we can show you only a fraction of what happened a long time ago on your Earth. Fortune from the event that played itself out a long time ago on your Earth. It isn't possible to show you in detail all the main events. You would need years before the viewing screen to see them all. I am convinced it was even this way very exciting for you. Some of the things you have seen will remain in your memory a long time. Sometime, somehow, this memory will be useful to you, which is what we all wish for. The importance is not so much what experiences you see, but how you use them. Even though Krotk looked at me intently, I did not respond, but I understood very well what he meant. Approximately 2 to 3 hours I can still be instructed, I thought. Then my sojourn will be ended, I found out. The completion of these lessons will now show the youngest history of your home planet. Much we could speak about, but the remaining time will not be adequate. So they will only give me brief glimpses of the information. But this will be equally as interesting as I have seen so far. The landscape in the viewing screen showed a world about 30 to 40,000 years ago when there were endless green forests, wonderful green meadows and valleys, mountains, lakes and rivers, filled with countless living moving animals. None of these living creatures suffered hunger or thirst, and also not for the humans of that time. When gradually the cold disappeared, even more humans entered these areas. In the beginning they still lived with nature, but when their birth rate went up and increased, they began taking from nature without giving back to nature. It was horrible what I was able to see on that viewing screen. Where there was still untouched nature, I saw anti-man barren lands, without trees, and nature destroyed by humans who destroyed it without respect for the continuity of life. Hunger entered 101 because in the regions where they lived there was not enough for humans that nature could provide. There were more humans than nature could feed. This was the region where there was so much fighting, and in these fights many humans killed each other. I found this very strange. I looked and viewed this section where the past warring confrontations. I felt like I was in a movie viewing scenes of military service, a history of military affairs. I got to see what the warriors used, from a simple spear and swords to the dropping of the atomic bomb. A little slower the war pictures of our youngest history continued. It looked as if I were there. I watched as these scenes appeared and disappeared again. I watched warring soldiers with beautiful uniforms as they were taught and drilled to kill each other. I watched as they slaughtered each other. They used everything needed and organized for the mass killing of human beings. I saw the human beings, in tanks, in ships at sea and in flight machines and airplanes, cannon, guns, and many other grotesque and horrible devices and machines created at great expense in wealth for no more use than to engage in war and destruction. Madness indeed. Every means was acceptable for the warring of the leaders of the nations of the world. Everything that could be used for the killing and destruction was employed. Many millions of humans found themselves dead. The longer I looked at the viewing screen, the more aware I became about the perfection of warfare. Warfare for the humans for each other. Nothing but chaos and horror. All these things that Earth humans have developed to consciously and scientifically kill masses of humans. Don't we humans have anything else to do as to act so insanely? I asked myself. My thought had not left my brain, when Grote tapped me on the shoulder. Obviously he wanted to show me that I was on the right wavelength in my thinking. Suddenly in the viewing screen was lightning like a storm was gathering, and then there was a huge mushroom cloud that appeared in the sky, a mushroom that was a mighty explosion. Gradually two cities came into the picture, that were in a few seconds destroyed completely. Everywhere lay dead and charred humans, and other humans who were seriously injured and who had survived. They ran screaming throughout their destroyed cities. But nobody came to help. Those were the atomic bombs over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This was ordered for the mass killing of humans by the state. One wanted to demonstrate to the world what power one had reached, because now we were able to blackmail all the other countries. As quickly as my hand turned, the glow entered my brain frequency. Andreas, your thoughts show me again that the main humanity is rejecting in horror a warring conflict, which is already a great step forward in human thinking, and they will think more in the ways of peace. But there is still a very long way to go until all humans feel and think this way, until 102 all humans stop warring, because only peace in general for all humans in your world will bring the highest technical scientific advancements. A main factor why humans war with each other is the world population, because Earth cannot nourish this many humans as does now exist. A maximum of 1 billion humans would be enough population for Earth. Struggles that lead to war among humans would then be eradicated. The amount of humans on your planet has to reduce itself by a reasonable amount to survive. If the humans do not acknowledge this in time, and have not taken certain measures for reduction, one day nature will act to complete the work. In the regions where masses of humans live and are concentrated together, diseases and hunger, and a lack of drinking water, will have horrendous results. No doubting these words can fight against it or do something about it. You have great religions that on your earth can help. Masses of people follow them. They could teach you the reduction of humans in the world. Their priests should not preach man to be fruitful and multiply, because it does not serve your earth. Such priests should preach, man, be fruitful and multiply intelligently and with reason, because this is a very different statement than before, and that would be remarkably worth mentioning. And all religions could keep faith. They would only have to enter one single word in the ceremonies when they preach, and that one word is intelligently. Also, I do not understand why the humans destroy their own beautiful Mother Earth. Why don't they notice and mention the beautiful environment? Where do your humans expect to go? There is only one Earth. The humans do not understand that the use of atomic energy on Earth is for humans and nature most destructive. And when on Earth, the atomic energy that is already utilized, you have not the necessary technology to perfect and master the material. Atomic energy as you use it, is dirty energy, and only means terror and fear for all human mankind. The appearance of fissionable material, plutonium, uranium, etc., is very rare on your Earth. Your humans should do without, should not use uranium as an energy source. Many years in the future, when you start your space shuttle programs, and you want to develop it further, it will necessitate the use of all the uranium you have, and you will need it urgently for space projects.